Well, good evening, everybody. It's 6 o'clock, and I'd like to welcome you all to this joint meeting of the Cabinet and Audit and Accounts Committee. I'm Aidan Godfrey, I'm the leader of the Council, and I'll be chairing this meeting. The agenda is set out before us, but before we start, I'd like to welcome Abtab and Grant Thornton, who will be presenting his report. I'm very grateful for him to come along today. Just to explain, at the end of the items 3A and 3B, there will be a vote, and there will be two separate votes. There will be a vote on the recommendation on page 43. One of the votes will be for the Cabinet only, and the other vote will be for the Audit and Accounts Committee only. So having said that, we'll move into the agenda, and the first item is apologies.
Councillor Dodson substituted by Councillor Jones and Councillor A. McNaughton substituted by Councillor D. McNaughton, leader.
Thank you very much, thank you. Now we're moving to item two, which is the officer's report, and it's item number 3A, which is the auditor's annual report 2021-22, 2022-23, and Abtab and Grant Thornton is going to speak to that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So just to give a bit of context, this report is focusing on arrangements that were in place for 2021-22 and 2022-23. So it is backward looking. And so the council has moved on from the position described in this report. So, but it has to be written at a point in time of what arrangements are available. So, as part of the value for money conclusion, we look at three areas around financial sustainability, governance, and improving economy efficiency and effectiveness. And what our work has identified is that there are five significant weaknesses which are shown in the report, and one which we have tagged as a significant weakness and a statutory recommendation. And the reason for it being a statutory recommendation is just to express that there's an urgent action needed to actually address the weaknesses and put measures in place so that the council can get back in track. And so the statutory recommendation is just around, I would say overall, is like financial monitoring arrangements and putting back in place the measures that were there pre-COVID, I would say, where, you know, you're getting members are getting adequate financial monitoring, you're getting the financial statements done on time, and, you know, making sure that all the financial arrangements are robust in place. From my perspective, the reason why the council was probably in this position is probably over COVID, there's been a lack of capacity, and there has to be made decisions of what to prioritise and what to do in serving in the functions because of the lack of capacity in areas. So I don't think it's been done by negligence or just ill want of doing things. It's just the council making choices of what to prioritise on. So, and now, over that period, there was, you know, we know there was some staff sicknesses, retirements, etc., and an implementation of a new financial ledger. So all of these pressures do add to a finance team which probably wasn't at full capacity at that point in time. And I think as time is rolling forward and we can see that there is movements in place that are addressing some of these weaknesses, but it does take time to address them, and it's that where we can see the progress has been made. So, you know, later on we go back to the management's responses to the report and the recommendations we make, and everything seems reasonable, but it just takes that time to get back to that solid foundation that you were at pre-COVID. So as I said, I'll take the report as pre-read, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? No? Okay. That's the quietest evening I think you'll have. Thank you very much. We move on to the council's responses, item 3B. Ask Mr. Clegg and Mr. Forrester to speak on this.
Thank you, leader. First of all, I'd like to say I'm most grateful to Avtar and his colleagues for all of the detailed work that they've done to identify the issues that are set out in some detail in the report for you tonight. It's never comfortable entirely to understand that there are things that we need to improve on, but actually it's a really helpful thing. It's given us the opportunity as a leadership team to reflect on our response to issues as they happen during the period that Aftar's referred to, and members will be aware, because we were quite open about it at the time, that we're having some issues in being able to provide members and indeed our service managers with up-to-date financial information and some of the other issues that are noted in the report. As Aftar says, this is a backward-looking report out of necessity and covers the periods as set out in the report, and we've taken steps to remedy the shortcomings that we've had. I think it's been really helpful for us to be able to reflect not just on the issues identified by this audit report, but also to look ahead to other issues that we may need to address in the future, and leadership team have done that, and I'm most grateful for the work of Stephen Baddeley and his team as our internal auditors for helping us to recognise some of those issues that we need to address. We take responsibility for the issues set out in the report, and we're committed to making the improvements that we've set out in the recovery plan. Leader, with your permission, I'll ask Chris just to identify a number of the key points from our improvement plan, and then we're recommending to members that we accept the findings of the audit report and recommend to full council that members do likewise and accept the improvement plan as we've set out.
Thank you.
Chris.
Yes.
Thank you. As has been said by Aftar, as per the reports, we can see there's been a number of areas where we haven't performed as well as we would have hoped, primarily around the preparation and audit of the final accounts, budget monitoring, and then we have some weaknesses in our arrangements around our IT systems, some risk management, procurement, and that performance management, as well as managing our workforce. I think, as Aftar says, this is a moment in time, but it's also worth noting that the world has kind of moved on, driven by COVID, and subsequently, the demands on the corporate and the back office functions are much greater now than they were previously. We're doing a lot more projects, we're having to do a lot more returns and a lot more certification work on top of these things we used to do. It's a lot more challenging, it's a complex environment to work in. So it's also worth noting that while the system implementation was a big driver of it as well, the work has increased. We have discussed this as we brought through the budget setting around the additional monies we put aside for the finance team to increase its depth, so that 300,000 across both councils, as well as the 200,000 across both councils for the transformation element to support that. So some of the elements that we're trying to address here, we've allocated resources already to start trying to remedy them, essentially. So if we move down into some of the key areas in the improvement plan, for that financial sustainability, we're talking about the restructuring of the finance team, the creation of the capacity. Fortunately, the budget's already been approved for this, so it'll make it much easier for us to move forward and start bringing in their skills and the depth that we need to support Emma and the team. Because at the moment, we haven't really got the level of depth we need to deliver the services that we want to deliver. We'll also do a lessons learned exercise about this finance system, because quite clearly, it didn't go as well as we would have hoped. We've got there now, but that's largely thanks to the extreme efforts of the finance team getting that there and working with partners. So learning from that will help us going forwards. We also want to start working with our budget managers and training them to ensure they have the right skill set. So once we start producing these budget reports and pushing our financial and monitoring information back out again, they'll be able to interpret it and use it more effectively, or use it effectively at least, going forwards. It isn't just going to be about us creating the shiny thing. We have to make sure it actually works for the organisation, that we engage with it. Performance reporting, we discussed a bit during the budget setting process as well. We will look to the medium long term to start changing the way we do that, so bringing together our risk and our performance and our financial information in one dashboard. So we'll be looking for best practice from other authorities, speaking to our new external auditors as Grant thought to move on, seeing what kind of things they're aware of, and trying to implement that here as well. Again, the resources have already been allocated for that. In terms of the corporate service transformation and efficiency, it's working with members, make sure we get the priorities right, and make sure we allocate resources to deliver those effectively through a transformation programme. That's going to be quite a big thing for Stafford, but I think we all remember the money that was set aside as well for the investment reserves, which is going to be really useful, essential really, to deliver this level of transformation and change within the council. So the 1.5 million that was set aside for investments and improvements in service delivery and everything will be apt to be used for a lot of these projects. Don't get me wrong, it will serve a lot of other things. It's not like it's all going to be used for this, but it's great to have that there to help fund some of these things that we're going to be talking about over the coming year to 18 months as we start to build this all up. With the IT areas, updating our cyber security policy, the health checks, the review of governance, and so on and so forth. A lot of that we're already underway. As you can see, a lot of the target dates are quarter one, 24, 25. So we're anticipating getting a lot of those done quite early into the new year. And you can see that we actually completed a number of the tasks already as we work down. So I won't belabor this by going into every one. I'll leave it to you guys to have specific questions. But fundamentally, this plan does address what was in the report. We feel it's got specific timescales for the delivery of those elements. You can be reassured that the resources have been allocated effectively to deliver these elements and these schemes and projects so that we can make sure that we get that improvement that we need.
Thank you very much, Mr. Forster. Anybody, any questions? Yeah, Councillor James.
Chris, the budget was set. Are you content that the amount of money that's been put aside is going to be sufficient for you for capacity and debt?
As it stands, I would say yes. I mean, it's a substantial amount, that 300,000 plus the shared service deployment and finance team, 200,000 transformation. We have those additional resources we can use to work it up and spec it. But as with anything, as it hits the real world, we will monitor this, we will adapt, we will feed back to yourselves if it's working, if it's not. It has to be a living thing as we respond to the external environment. So at this point in time, with the information I have, using that expert eye on it, yes.
You're content?
At this point in time, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Leader. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Leader. Leader, I should like to thank the external auditor for what I think is a very helpful report. It gives us lots of steers, shows us directions we should be moving in. It gives us the structure for monitoring what's going on and what progress is being made so that we do actually make progress and improve. And I think all that is really helpful. It's a great framework for us to work with and to work from.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you, Councillor Cook. Yep. Councillor Ford.
If I could just add my thanks to those of Councillor Cook for what's obviously been a comprehensive review and very clear recommendations. I'd like also to commend our finance and transformation teams for what are, I think, very well considered responses and action plans. I think we know, Chris has already referred to it, much has happened during the last 12 months to begin to address the issues that have been raised in the report, and that should give us some comfort. I think the final element will be scrutiny of the progress against the actions, and I'm sure that will be pursued intently.
Yeah.
So in summary, I think very helpful auditor's report and well-considered response.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much, members. Mr. Clayton, anything else?
No, Chair, just refer you to the recommendations in the report.
Okay. There'll be two votes tonight, as I've mentioned. The first vote will be for the Cabinet only, and it's to accept the recommendations on page 43. So can I ask if the Cabinet accept the recommendations on page 43? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now I ask the same question to the Audit and Accounts Committee. Do you accept the recommendations on page 43?
Yes.
And I think that's unanimous as well. Thank you very much, members, and thank you very much, Shabta. Thank you. This will be a quiet night for you.
Yeah.
We're very grateful for all the work you've done with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, Mr. Forrester and Mr. Clegg.